Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Mohammed El-Aryan has been of great value to Bloomberg Surveillance. He joins us now from PIMCO. Dr. El-Aryan, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
So many questions to ask at this moment of the nexus of politics and economics and almost society back centuries as we look at this horror of chemical weapons. What is the unknown right now for Mohammed El-Aryan?
Well, the known is that foreign policy issues will always trump economic issues, and market participants must realize that. The unknown relates to the network effects in Syria. You know, as we've discussed in the past, Syria on a standalone basis is not that important, but there's lots of proxy wars going on in Syria. And the big unknown for the markets is the extent to which a further dislocation in Syria causes ripple effects elsewhere.
Mohammed, I'm being shaded. I'm reading a wonderful one volume on John Hay, and I'm at the end of his career with Theodore Roosevelt, and before that, the Boxer Rebellion in China and Venezuela and the Panama Canal. There was a style back then to foreign policy. Are we affecting the correct foreign policy style for the unknown unknowns that you see?
I think the most striking thing to me, Tom, is how difficult it is to get collective action among countries with the same value system. So last week's rejection by the UK Parliament of the use of force in principle was a blow to this notion that the West can still unite against something that is a collective danger, and that you could get good collective action. I called it the prisoner's dilemma, that increasingly countries are turning inwards because they're not sure whether they can hold others accountable for their actions.
Yeah, I read it last night, Mohammed. It was very interesting, but I wonder if you're nostalgic for a time that may not have actually existed, or at least existed as much as we would like to think. When you look back at some of the foreign policy problems that we have had in the past, go back to Vietnam, or even the inability of the West to do anything about what happened in Bosnia during the 1990s. You can keep going farther back, all the way to the Great Depression and the lords of finance who messed things up so badly. I mean, do we really have a history of doing this, or is it just that sometimes we come together?
We had a history where there was a functioning G7. We had a history where the multilateral institutions did not have big representation deficits. And we did have a history where when push came to shove, we came together. So, you know, I'm now much more sympathetic to Ian Bremmer's concept of a G0, in which there is no clear leadership and therefore countries turn inwards. I think you see it most clearly on the economic front. You can list a whole, long list of issues that require international collective actions, and we're not getting it.
Is it realistic, though, to think that in some of these areas you mentioned in your article, international, banking regulation, bankruptcy regimes, this would be very difficult to do given cultural and legal differences between countries?
Agreed. But you just mentioned it, financial regulation. You'd think that after a financial crisis that took us to the brink of a global depression, we'd be able to agree on minimum standards. And yet, whether it's the leverage ratio or other things, there's still too much disagreement. And I think ultimately each country asks the question, what's in my domestic interest? And then and then others will react. And then monetary policy is that times 10 times, where people don't care about the international spillover effects.
Mohammed, I get so much response when you and I talk about game theory and some of these ideas of the limitation of choices available today. When did you first learn about the Washington Consensus out in 1989, John Williamson's great idea? Where was Mohammed El-Aryan when the Washington Consensus was all the rage?
I was at the IMF where the institution was applying the Washington Consensus.
Did you guys go out and throw bricks at him? Or?
No, not at all. I laughed when at the beginning you said how strategists, are all over the place on where the market will go from here. Well, economists are all over the place. I mean, the fundamental issue, which is the quest for growth especially as central banks step back from artificial support. That fundamental issue, there's absolutely no agreement on. There's no agreement on what produces good growth, and there's no agreement on what the growth outlook looks like. And that's such a fundamental issue, not just for economists, but for markets as well.
Yeah, you mentioned in your article that one of the problems is that everybody's running economic beggar-thy-neighbor policies almost. They're not cooperating to try to boost the collective.
Correct. And you see this on monetary policy. I think that now there's much more recognition, for example, that the Fed's experimental policies do have spillover effects and that the rest of the world is not as well equipped as we'd like to deal with those. And yet there are no global buffers to minimize the effect. So one thing PIMCO's investment committee talks about is not only what's happening in emerging markets, but the feedback loop back into the advanced economies.
Quickly here, Mohammed, are you long emerging markets? Can you acquire now?
We are very cautious emerging markets now. We see some isolated pockets of value, okay? And I stress some and pockets, okay? But we're cautious. You've got to respect the technicals now, and the technicals right now are negative.
Mohammed, let me cut to the chase. Will we see the Fed taper before the New York Jets win their first football game?
By the way, when you said earlier today what a fun time of year when you were talking about your Red Sox, it's not a fun time of year for the Mets fans, just so, to be clear. Let me tell you what we expect for September 17th and 18th, and I'll start with the highest conviction.
Is this the Jets or the Fed we're talking about?
We're talking about the Fed.
It's a Wednesday, Tom. They haven't got NFL Wednesday yet.
So we expect that it is likely that the Fed will start tapering. It is likely that this will focus on treasuries, so it will be reducing its purchases of treasuries. It is likely that this will be accompanied by loss of qualifications that stress that the Fed could reverse its decision if the economy weakens. And it is likely that they will evolve their forward guidance policy in order to try and minimize the negative impact.
Are they affecting this policy within PIMCO's new normal?
They are, because the economy has not reached escape velocity. The economy is healing, but not healing as fast as everybody would like. So why are they tapering? Because I think they're concerned about the costs and risks. So they're trying to strike that balance between, on the one hand, not interrupting the healing process, but on the other hand, making sure that they don't distort excessively the functioning of markets and asset allocation.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, we're not going to be meeting their growth forecasts from even June by September. So why are they doing this now? Let me also add a second question there, and that is, does their forward guidance work, since everybody knows Ben Bernanke is leaving and he really can't bind the next guy or girl?
That is the big question, Michael. And when you move from a policy that directly has a direct impact on markets because you're purchasing securities to one where you're trying to change and alter behaviors through language, the effectiveness goes down. And that speaks to a bigger issue, and I think the Fed recognized it as far back as August 2010, if you look at Chairman Bernanke's speech to Jackson Hole, that there are benefits, costs, and risks, and the longer you stay unconventional, the greater the risk of policy ineffectiveness.
So they better get out because things aren't working.
What everybody wants is for other policymakers who have much better tools to get engaged properly. But that speaks to political polarization.
Who are those other policymakers?
So we have three big issues, Tom. One is too little aggregate demand given the needs. Two is too few structural reforms aimed at enhancing competitiveness and dealing with structural problems. And three are residual debt overhangs that discourage investment. If you look at these three things, they are all outside the ability of the Fed to act
directly.
Okay,
I'll buy it. What indication do you have? I think this is critical, folks. If we begin some form of monetary release from the regime of the last 4 and 5 years, you're assuming, Mohammed, somebody picks up the slack from Chairman Bernanke. Do you see any indication those institutions will step up?
So I don't. We don't see that indication. But what we do see is a slow endogenous healing of the economy. So this is not a case where if the Fed steps out, the economy collapses. But it is a case where, unfortunately, the economy still doesn't reach escape velocity. And I think it's important for investors to realize this as they look at their asset allocation.
Do you have a number of what escape velocity is? Is there an Eulerian formula? The rap on you, Mohammed, is it's all cosmic and, you know, wonderfully theoretical. Do you have a working number of what you need
sure.
to see?
So this is an economy that can and should be growing in the 3 to 3.5%
range. Okay, there it is, folks.
Okay.
3 to 3.5.
And we're stuck in second gear in 1.5 to 2, right? And the longer that difference persists, the more challenges become embedded
right.
in the structure of
Mike,
the economy.
Jump in here. We've gone 2 minutes, 84 seconds with Mohammed without getting back to the New York Jets. I guess we've given up. Mike, jump in here.
Well, I guess we need to ask you your opinion of Geno Smith and whether or not you think he is capable enough to produce some victories for the Jets this season.
I think he is capable. I think it's going to be hard. I think there's a good defense. The offense is much weaker. And you've got to respect other teams. So I'm not expecting
right.
a 10-6 season. I hope we end up 8-8. I doubt we'll do that.
Yeah.
But it's a rebuilding season. How about that?
I like that. It's a rebuilding season. Tim Tebow really worked out for the Patriots.
Well, Mohammed.
Mohammed?
Mohammed's a Met fan like I am. And you get used to rebuilding. It's been rebuilding.
That's right.
Been rebuilding since 1986.
Correct. Correct. And it took us from 69 to 86. So, you know.
Can I dovetail these two conversations? May I quote you, Dr. Eulerian, that the New York Jets have not found escape velocity?
Yeah, we're not even in second gear today. we just hope to get out of reverse. Okay.
Well, very good. Mohammed Eulerian.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.